Okay, we are recording. Call this meeting to order of the Leon County Research and Development Authority Development Review Committee for Innovation Park. Let's start out by going around the room and have everyone introduce themselves. Let's start with Ross Beck.
Ross Ellington, Associate Vice President for Research and Professor.
Mike Drummond, City of Tallahassee, Electric Park.
Mary Jo Spector, FSU Facilities.
Tom Osteen, Morbass Consulting.
Kendall Jones, Executive Director of Plant Operations and Maintenance Management.
I'm Peggy Dilby. I'm the Administrative Coordinator for Innovation Park.
Pat Holley, I'm with Cloche Carpegan Architects.
Kim Ball, Architect.
Greg Harden, City of Tallahassee.
Ron Miller, Executive Director of the Leon County Research and Development Authority. Any modifications to the agenda? Hearing none. Any public comment before we start the hearing? There's none. Approval of the minutes, July 10, 2018. It has been a while since we met. If you all had a chance to review those, any changes?
No changes. I make a motion to approve minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Passes unanimously. So our only agenda item today is the, or business item today is the FSU Interdisciplinary Research and Commercialization Building. You've been provided with the drawings, as well as my preliminary evaluation based on our little check sheet that we do that compares the PUD and the CNR. And I noted things that we were still waiting on, trying to confirm and where we had potential variances. We did also receive a variance application. The requested variances are listed on the agenda as well as in the letter from FSU Conan. You want to introduce yourself?
Craig Thompson from FAMU. Okay.
Hopefully everyone has had a chance to look at the materials. We really are going to have two actions to take today. One is the approval of the site plan submission, and two is the formal hearing for the variances. The variances have been noticed in the newspaper in accordance with the covenants and restrictions, as well as notification being sent to all of the tenants of the park, as well as it's identified in the CNR they're supposed to do. So it's been properly noticed. We've received three inquiries from tenants. One was the Dan Foss. Ricardo Schneider expressed full support for the variances, and the other two did not express any specific side for it. So they just went ahead questions. So we provided them with all the information that they requested. So having said all of that, are there any comments we want to start with, questions, concerns? Let's start with the site plan itself.
Actually, I'd like to start with this.
Oh, you want to do that?
Okay. I want to do this first.
Okay.
We were not able to send this out as part of the package because it's a huge file, but this is a fly around that the architects provided for us when we had to present to the president, President Thrasher at FSU. I think a picture speaks a thousand words. I know that's very cliched, but I think this tells you a lot more about the building than a set of plans in terms of what it's going to look like, the scale, colors potentially, how it's going to be, fit in with the surrounding buildings, the neighborhood, etc. This was done 2 years ago, as I was telling a couple of people beforehand, about the only thing that has changed since then is the equipment yard has shrunk. And the reason it has shrunk is FSU has decided to put in a central chiller plant at the Mag Lab that is going to support this building as well as a number of the other buildings around it at some point in the near future. And that meant that we could do away with all but one chiller that we have to have back in that equipment yard. So as an effect, that yard will be a bit smaller. It will be more like what you're seeing on this plan instead of what you're seeing up here. But you can see it's a little different than certainly than the aesthetic and style we have on the main campus. I think it conveys the nature and intent of the research that's going to go on in this building, which is fairly out there, cutting edge. It's dealing, and Ross can speak more specifically about the research itself, but a lot of it's about materials research, it's about engineering, chemical engineering in particular, biomedical engineering as well. And there's going to be a number of core facilities within the building as well as individual research labs here. It is not assigned to any particular department or college. It is meant to be truly interdisciplinary. Tenants will come and go as their research projects ramp up, start, and kind of diminish. And as collaborations occur between different groups, they'll come in and occupy the building as well. It, in effect, can house upwards of 30-some faculty, hundreds of graduate students, and probably 10 to 15 staff members. So, with that, then, if you've got any questions about the specifics of the building, then we can go to the site plan.
Okay.
So.
Well, you just say that it's going to be the United Nations of disciplines, all that faculty from chemistry, physics, scientific computing, all the engineering disciplines. It'll be populated in a way that proved to us that you're going to be much more productive collectively together with a faculty member from chemistry than you are in your own department. The university typically builds buildings for the departments, and that just reinvents the wheel. They build the buildings suit the faculty that are currently in the department. This building is being built to accommodate research for the next 40 or 50 years. Very, very flexible. The laboratory space is primarily ballroom laboratory space, where you pack five or six or seven research groups in a ballroom and play nice and work together. So it could be an interesting grand experiment for the university. Luckily, that experiment has been played out throughout the country, and it works. And so we're very excited about this concept.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the specific challenges of this site?
Where to start? I have to say at least 20-30% of this site is utility easements. I think we all know that. We've got the above ground electrical service from the city that goes along both the southern and easterly edge of this site. So we had to keep the building out of the way of that, as well as any kind of permanent structures. We could certainly use it, and we are using it, for parking and driveways. So that impacted really the buildable area that we have there. At the same time...
Let me just interject. Yeah. So we invested a lot of money in bringing in people studying electromagnetic interference, vibration, sort of the geology of the area. And so the siting of the building is chosen in a sweet spot because a lot of the instruments that are going to be used are going to be instruments that will be impacted by vibrations and by electromagnetic interference. And you've got those power lines, which are a problem. So there's a sweet spot that the building had to be built, and that's why it is where it is.
And part of that, too, is we design all our FSU buildings to expand in the future. And so we wanted to start out at the corner of Levy, and conceivably, you know, this may not happen for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, is this building could actually double in size on the more southerly part of the site eventually. But having that presence on that corner is really important from an urban design standpoint. And, you know, having the provenance and all that sort of stuff associated with the first part of the building.
And that is consistent with where we're headed with the covenants and restrictions as well, is trying to get closer to the street, make it more walkable.
Yeah, so in effect, we're asking for a variance from that 50-foot setback, which I think is, may I say, a harbinger of another era. and time. If you look around the city and see everything that's being built in the city, particularly in the multimodal district, everything is meant to be closer to the street with the thought that people are walking, biking, using public transit. We're not, I think, what is it?
We're encroaching a couple of feet. A
couple of feet at best.
Because the building isn't completely square to the setback. So there's a point of penetration in a couple of spots, but it's not much. I think it's 46 and 49 are the measured
setbacks,
penetrations into the 50-foot buffer or so.
How do you, the dimension for setback for multimodal, how close are you to being in compliance with what the city wants and all of that?
Well, multimodal, it depends. I mean, it's usually a range of zero to a number, and the building can be sited because there are other aspects of multimodal that, in terms of where street trees go, widths of sidewalks, other pieces along the public right-of-way that can push the building one way or the other a little bit. But 50 is usually not even remotely close. It's usually 0 to
15.
20 or 15 or something like that. So it's usually way closer to the edge of the road than this building is.
Do we want to take each of these variances one at a time then? So we've just talked about the 50-foot setback. Are there any other questions related to the setback? The allowable building height, we actually have a conflict between our PUD and the CNR. The CNR says 45 feet, but the PUD is 90 feet. The PUD is actually newer. So I think the intent was obviously to allow for larger building height. We are also in the process of redoing the CNR. It's been a long process. We actually just met with growth management. We will be rectifying some of these differences very soon. But in the meantime, it's still a variance, and we have to address it.
Where did the 45 feet come from?
That's from the CNR. I don't know who.
I'm guessing that that's three stories of 15 feet apiece. And this building, you know, this type of building, you're minimum of 16 feet below the floor, usually closer to 18 feet. So even,
it's 18,
yeah, it's 18, 18 even right. 18 times 3 is exceeding the 45.
And a lot of times codes nowadays go back to stories rather than a dimensional height, because depending on the use, the first floor could be 20 feet of commercial space, followed by differing heights on the subsequent floors above it. So it's a lot of times it's easier to do that than the numerical.
Well, the scale of the building is certainly consistent with the context surrounding it. So,
and that penthouse design is also, I think, consistent with the other buildings, with the Research Foundation and, mm-hmm. and the way those are designed.
And the fact that the penthouse has this slope to it is meant to diminish the size of that penthouse as well, so that it doesn't, I mean, we could have built a straight up box and just capped it there, but by sloping it like that, you're going to see less of it, particularly at eye level from down on the grade, as you can see here, even though it does go quite high up in the air.
Any other questions about the building height? Okay, you want to talk about parking?
Yeah, because the engineer drive is angled and the building isn't completely square to it, the parking field has two spaces that penetrate just slightly, and they're right.
No, actually, we're talking about the numbers.
Oh, the number of parking spaces.
Yeah,
oh, I thought it was the number.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Well, as Mary just said, that you've got a code that I think has, for what, 220 or something like that, number of parking spaces. We've gone back through it with an analysis on the actual number of staff and administrative people that will occupy the building on a daily basis. And then, to your point about trying to encourage a walkable community and having students who come here either by mass transit and then some parking available for them as well, we end up with about 116 spaces that we think are adequate for the needs of the building as it sits today.
A lot of the faculty are going to have, most of the faculty will have offices in their own departments, and so they're going to be migrating back and forth between the research building and their home departments for teaching and things like that. And the students, of course, are going to be using transit and so forth.
And not to mention, we did, if you look at the site plan, there is some pretty significant trees in terms of size and quantities on this more southerly part of the site, and we did want to preserve them to the best of our ability and not just pave the rest of the site as well. So we feel like that the number of spaces we're providing will be adequate, and in the context of parking that we have across the street that I have never seen full, I think this will be fine.
Any other questions about that? And then you want to talk about the parking?
What I was trying to do?
Yes.
Not on turn. Again, all I was going to point out was that the two spaces that are shooting into the 25-foot setback are one space here and one space here. If you look across the remainder of the frontage, clearly that's not too much of an intrusion. There's much more of a landscape edge and a building edge and a non-parking issue for the majority of the property. So we would ask for those two to be allowed to be where they are. And that also, as Mary just said, allows us to leave a lot of the trees that are in place here and in place here rather than expanding those and taking trees out to push it out of the way.
Is the animation reflective of the actual landscape plan, or is that?
I think the animation is an old parking layout. I think it's fairly indicative of the landscape plan.
I think it is along the front edge of back in here, but not so much along the back edge of the property.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a glimpse there I had at one point. I said, oh, that's not quite the way the parking is now. But,
okay, any other questions on the variance request? Greg, you have a memo with some issues that you wanted to raise.
Yeah, and I provided this to Tom yesterday. You're relocating that one storm water pump over to the Alumni Village.
Yes. So
whatever volume
has
to be reestablished, plus any increase. And then you do have some utility connections within Levy Avenue. And so that would just, as you know, coordinate with Tyler.
I was just going to say, Ron, I was talking at the beginning of the meeting, and this is a little bit out of sorts of how site plans are usually processed and coordinated with city departments. But yes, we'll coordinate with Electric on both the parking field and the restrictions that apply to that underneath the overhead power easement. And there may be some modification in the landscape plan because of that.
Sure.
But everything else, will have to be coordinated back through Electric connections. And to his question earlier, transformer locations, which I indicated they would tell us where they wanted it to be.
Right.
But we'll work with them to try and hide and disguise it as well as we can without violating some of the there.
Yeah. That's the challenge.
We do have I did provide you with a memo. I don't know if Electric wants to add anything at this point.
Yeah, did you have something you wanted to?
Just a couple of comments on the drawings as they stand right now. We would like to see the pole locations, including any guys that go out from the poles. So
they're hard to read. I think the poles actually are.
They are on here.
If you like, you'd see the.
Oh, okay.
There's a pole location as opposed to just the indications of overhead electric, and I think then you get down into
think they fell off the drawing, Bob, maybe.
There is a drawing that they're on.
But we do have them on the survey, but they're, superimposed those for you.
And the guys, too, that's
right.
Your parking may be influenced by the guy locations, so you may have to look at that.
Which substation is this coming from? Is it the one that serves the magnet lab, or is it a different substation?
These transmission lines, there's at least one that goes to that substation. There's three transmission lines there, and I believe the other two actually go to the one over on the other side of Robert, up across CSX. You get to it from the Latona Drive. That's a pretty big substation.
Because the one that goes to Magalab is really reliable, and we're just really,
wondering which one we're going to get.
Have they improved the power feed to MRV and AME? Those are going to that substation, I believe. Okay. And at one point, that power feed had issues pretty frequently.
And I don't know of any complaints about the feeds going into MRV.
I don't know about that. I just know the Shaw building has been an issue.
You might ask about it, because I know it was a problem at one point.
Yeah, the Shaw building has continued to be an issue.
I only do the transmission Now, I just came from substation, so I didn't build the substation up there on Roberts. Yeah.
But this is a tangent. I'm just curious why we had an expert here. I wanted to
And I can't really brag on that one because it went out yesterday. So, I mean, it's like, but it was our office too, so, and it doesn't go out very often. Very unusual that we were in the dark. the notes for construction working clearance under the lines need to be on your construction plans. Just make sure that they're. One thing that usually I try to get contractors to realize is they can't use the long dumps, the long dump trucks. They're in style now and people are using them, but around the transmission line they're deadly. So they need to use a regular short dump.
If they're coming underneath.
Right.
But if they're not, if they're just...
On the interior side wouldn't matter to you, but just
that corner down there.
And the
only thing is, a lot of times if you're using them, they'll leave them up. And
it's hard to drive off.
Yeah, we've had that happen recently a couple of times. So, there should be a curb cut somewhere along here where we can get our trucks into our holes to do maintenance or repairs.
This certainly would, the driveway here would certainly allow that.
Yeah, on that side.
Yeah, as well as on this side, too.
Yeah, if you need to, if you're going to traverse the rest of the property, then this would all be obviously open.
Yeah.
We didn't have an extension of the driveway to this point where you could come in and circulate through.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that is because the guys are here with getting through there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to the challenge of the site.
I'm not sure at what point this was written. This was actually done before I took over the transmission, so I believe my boss made these notes, so I'm kind of following his lead on it. Also, there is a fiber on, I think on...
Lady?
Yeah, on the lines underneath, So that's
under the easement?
Under the actual conductors, the wires, the fiber will be lower. It'll be the lowest.
On the poles.
On the poles.
Okay.
And that could affect your clearance too. Our conductors, most of the time, those fibers are somewhere around 25 feet, 28, and they can be lower. So, it probably needs to have some kind of a profile done on it that we can make sure that, you know, they're good with it. The clearances. So, and that's FSU fiber, so it might not be a good one to take down. But, and the, do you have a, like a grading plan that shows your cut and fill and clear?
Right here where the green contours are the proposed and the black are the existing.
Okay, so... Alright, can you send me this? My office is being relocated and my cards are...
you want it electronically or on paper?
I would rather have it electronic.
Sure.
Greg, you have that. Can you share that?
Sure. Yeah. I'll send you the plans then.
Sure. All right. Yeah. And I don't know if y'all got my info, but I will. I'll put it on one of these.
Okay.
And what this is we have a standard easement requirements.
I think that's what you attached.
That's what I forwarded that to Tom already.
Yeah. So y'all have that. Okay, y'all have this. Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, do you guys have a process for how you work with utilities? This is the first time we've run into this situation where utilities have been brought into a VRC meeting.
Yeah, and mainly just for protection of their infrastructure.
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering about the timing of this, because any approval that the DRC does is always subject to working with the city on any requirements that they have for utilities and stormwater. So I'm just wondering, just for future reference, whether or not this is a necessary part of the process.
I believe that our engineers, not these engineers, have been in touch with the city officials as far as, because they had to derive whatever information they needed for the electrical feeds as well as, we've got natural gas, water, sewer, everything in this building. And so they've been in touch with them. This has been we've been working on this project for 3.5-4 years, and so I can't tell you who specifically we've worked with as far as the city is concerned, but I know at some point in time they did contact them, and you've been working on the stormwater. You've been working on that side of it too.
Well, the stormwater is a separate issue, and that's covered through a different agreement that Florida State has with the city. There's a master plan that that they've approved as part of the development agreement that we prepared quite some time ago. And so the stormwater solution is consistent with that. The MEP, I think, was it AECOM? Or AE? What was it?
AEI. Affiliated Engineers.
Yeah. And they've done a number of projects for Florida State. They're on the continuing service contract. And so they have been in touch with, I'm not sure the individual names again, but again for the...
Yeah, this is where I get a little confused with the permitting process with FSU versus everyone else. And I don't know if FAMU's got a similar situation, but somewhat autonomous in how you go through that process. But as it relates to utility easements, you're still subject to the easements.
And utility connections. And even on the main campus, when we're doing a project, while we don't go through the city's permitting process for site plan approval or environmental permitting, we do coordinate with the utility department for connections, and So that's a typical part of what we do there. And okay. Like Mary Jo said, the EI had that responsibility with regard to utility connections.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure we don't extend the DRC's reach in areas that we don't have jurisdiction.
Right.
And we're basically constrained to our covenants restrictions in the PUD. And to my knowledge, getting into, you know, the how utilities are represented on the drawing, I don't think is necessarily within DRC's purview to do that. Now, obviously, if it's beneficial and helpful, then any comments can be provided. I just want to make sure we don't get in the habit of trying to have this group decide these sorts of issues.
No, I think this is just with the overhead transmission, which is the exception.
And to be informative is obviously great, but in terms of what we're actually going to vote on today, make it clear that that's not what we're trying to do here. And as well as with your comments, because I think your comments also fall outside of what we approve, but are certainly informative to the project. So.
There's one more thing. Any metal underneath the lines or in our easement that's there will need to be grounded for any SC requirements. So that could be a consideration for if you have any trails, bollards, fencing, anything over there.
And that speaks to another question you had really about lighting. And I have not seen the lighting plan. So we'll have to coordinate that and make sure that, to your point, there aren't any metal poles or bollards or anything like that, or if there are, then they're grounded or whatever.
And it's, you know, it's perfectly fine to ground. So, I mean, and it's not amazingly expensive or anything like that. So, you know, it's fairly common.
But do you have any other issues?
No. I would like the grading plan so I can look over that. And sometimes grading can affect our clearances where it needs to be. Yeah.
Okay.
But if I have anything, I'll let you know.
There aren't any substantial areas of fill.
Okay.
With the exception that then it kind of takes it back to normal where the pond is today, we fill that in order to provide the service entrance off of Levy, and then we grade back down to the east to existing grade. But those poles, as they get outside of the pond, would have the same clearance tolerance that they would after we filled that service drive area. So I think we'll be okay there.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much. And as you mentioned, the lighting plan has not been provided, and that is one of the requirements. And we'll have to make the approval subject to getting a lighting plan at a later date. And given the delay that will be caused because of the funding issue, we'll have time to get that done in the future.
Sure.
But obviously it makes sense. For those that are not aware, they did not receive sufficient funding from the legislature to continue the project, is my understanding at this point.
There was a decision.
Yeah, and it's still in play. I think that we didn't get the funding that we expected, but the decision has not been made to postpone the construction.
Okay.
So we could start as early as the 1st of September.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, did you get partial funding?
Oh, we got some funding.
Has the governor signed off yet, or is he done with his line item vetoes?
I don't think. Usually takes a while for him to get the appropriation bill. But this is actually a transfer of existing funds from one project to another, so I don't think that is subject to veto. I think it's a proviso.
Okay.
So it's I think it's a done deal. So we have $20.5 million in PICO money. In our till right now, but we have a lot of internal money.
And the project's still looking at total about $90 million. Is that
88? Yeah, about 88. 64.5 in terms of the construction costs.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure we understand. We've got to come back with the lighting plan and get that approved in the future.
And then, you know, as I discussed, I thought there was that 12-month kind of window, and we want to make sure everybody understands that this may or may not start within that 12-month window.
And that extension of that time is it's the authority's approval to do that. It's not the DRC that does that. So
we can talk about that at the June?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, let's take item 6A first. Is there a motion to approve the site plan as presented, subject to receiving the additional lighting plan?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes unanimously. The request for the variances, item 6B, is there a motion to approve the variance request?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Also passes unanimously. Thank you all. Is there any new business? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.